Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of the early line right here, where we put the fun in functional sports content. And Kev, you know what's interesting for me when I look at the National League? All right. The NL East, who knows, right? We can't make heads or tails of it. The team that's winning the NL East right now has played 4 games. The team that's in the basement has played 4 games. We have no idea how that's going to look. In the NL Central, we talked about this yesterday. Kev, the Cubs are kind of running away and hiding. All these other teams are, you know, kind of around 500. And so when I think on balance with the, you know, 7 or 8 teams making the playoffs, right? And all these second place teams and wild card teams, when obviously the Cardinals, and you could put that up as well, guys. You know, the Cardinals now are going to be kind of in this limbo for a while. It makes me think I can't make sense of the standings in the NL East. I can't make sense of the standings in the NL Central. You know what I mean, Kev? But in the NL West, we now have 3 teams that look good, that are above 500. You know how I like to talk about the Fathers. The Dodgers are still there. And then you, at every point in time, tell me, Dane, don't be silly. Don't forget about the Colorado Rockies, right? And they once again get a victory against San Francisco. They get it to 5-2. You know, Herman Marquez pitching well again. They stand at 8-2, Kev. The Colorado Rockies are ahead of the Padres, ahead of the Dodgers. Is this sustainable? Because, Kev, we are now, sounds so silly to say, we're a sixth of the way through the season.
That's a good point. We certainly are. I mean, look, this division is quite captivating, right? You take a look here at the fact that the Padres are a very exciting team. And look, they've played some good baseball thus far. You take a look at the Dodgers, of course, and they're going to be a powerhouse all year long. But you look at this Rockies team, there is a lot to like. And what stands out about this Rockies team is that right now, because you know the offense will be there, Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, right? You know the offense will be there. Their pitching has looked really good. That's the question with this team always, right? You know, remember when Ubaldo Jimenez won the Cy
Young? Right.
You know, will they ever be able to find that again? And thus far, this
Marquez looks good.
Really, like, this team's looked really good. And we know that there's going to have to be 2 teams from the West sent. But as we look through the Central and the East, where we thought that they almost assuredly would be occupying those 2 spots, maybe not, okay?
Right.
Maybe not. So I think you have to give the West as a whole, the juice is there. This division looks good. D-backs right now, worst run differential in baseball. A very poor start for them. But the Giants have been – look, the Giants have scored more runs than the Rockies. Now, they've played two more games than them. But still, it's just the Giants offensively right. have been good. It's been a fun start to the NL West season.
Yeah, and that's the point that I would make as well, right? Remember, going into the season, a lot of people thought, hey, the NL East was going to be a gauntlet. You know, those four contenders were going to have to, you know, kind of make it work against each other. Well, the Phillies have, you know, come down with COVID, and they're going to be, I think it's going to be real hard for any of these teams, Kev, that, you know, have a pause, whether you're the Cardinals, the Marlins, the Phillies, or anything. It's just so weird, you know, to get up, get starting, and then have to kind of ramp up again. We know the Braves, listen, the Braves lost the ace of their staff, okay? And that's going to be tough to come up with. The Mets offense has not looked the way we thought. And then you got the, you know, you got the Nationals still there as well. So that division has not performed the way we thought, as we once again welcome our radio audience back to the fray here on the grid, giving you the edge, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh right here on the early line. With the Central, the Cubs have held up to their end of the bargain, but now the St. Louis Cardinals are kind of in that, you know, space, and it's big names for the Cardinals, okay? And let's talk about that for a second. You know, Paul DeJong, Yadier Molina, more than with the Marlins, Kev, this has been brand names that are now down. The Cardinals had designs on competing. You know, this upsetting of the apple cart, does this now kind of like eviscerate the Cardinals' chances in your mind, even if they do get back to activities in the next, you know, next week?
That's the thing. It's I don't know when they're going to play again. I don't know how long it is before.
Let's say it's Monday. Let's say it's Monday, Kev. That's still like a week off and they're start and stop. What's the actual impact on their performance?
Well, but that's what I'm saying, right? Is like, and then how long is Yadi meant to be gone for, right?
Right.
Because this is still the thing with this disease. Asymptomatic, symptomatic, lingering-ish. Like, there's right. just, there is far too much unknown for me to be able to, like, truly answer that question. I think it's a great question you ask, but I think I think you know going into the question, right? There's really no answer that can be provided, because there's way too much to be unknown in that regard. And look, the Cardinals started out with a little 2-0 run, and then they lost 3 in a row, and now they've just played 5 games, right? I mean, the Cubs are 9-2. Like, the Cubs look fantastic. They've won 5 right. in a row, right?
So, and now there's more pressure, though, Kev, right? Because, like, whenever the Cardinals do come back, right, yeah. they're chasing the Cubs. If they were just playing the whole time, right, that's one thing. But now they're like, oh, man, we're behind the eight ball. We got to catch up. There's a team that's hot in our division. I think it puts even more pressure on a team like the Cardinals, or a team like the Phillies, or any of these teams that get back at it and see that they're staring at a gap.
I think the other day, the stat I saw was something like the Phillies had to play 56 games in 54 days. Hey,
right.
That's more games than there are days. That doesn't work, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And then if the same becomes true with the car, like, what are we doing, right? And we still don't have the answers to that, by the way. Rob Manfred yep. is hoping that they don't have to answer those questions. That's not realistic. So there's so much unknown with some of these teams, and I think what we have to do, Dane, is, you know, pick apart the teams that sit there for us right now that are playing games on a daily basis.
No, I agree, and that's why we go back to the NL West. We'll talk Dodgers and Fathers when we come back, giving you the edge right here on Sports Grid. Come on back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the early line here on Sports Grid. And Kev, you know, in the National League, with the Cardinals having their positive tests and now being on pause as we talk about brand names, right? Paul DeJong, Yadier Molina. This is a little bit different than the Marlins because, in my opinion, more of a contender, more of a brand name. We'll see what the tact is with Major League Baseball. In the NL East, you got the Marlins, you got the Phillies, and the standings there are all messed up. So then when I look at the NL West, we talked about the Rockies doing their thing. The Dodgers are right there, of course. And then this young team that I think everyone can get behind, if for nothing else, because their uniforms are amazing, is the San Diego Padres, right? And the Padres are small dogs today at home against these Dodgers, okay? Ross Stripling on the hill for the Dodgers. Garrett Richards on the hill for the Padres. Yesterday, the Dodgers got a 5-2 win. AJ Pollock going yard, which now puts these two teams, correct me if I'm wrong, but with identical records of 7-5, 8-4. They're right there, right there behind the Rockies. I got to think all three of these teams are going to qualify now for the NL playoffs because they keep coming along where, you know, we've got a lot of kind of ripple effects and variance going on in the schedule, just more for the teams in the Central and East now to deal with these Rockies, these Padres, these Dodgers. For now, until there's an outbreak out West, which there might be, these guys are just humming along, taking care of their business. How do you see this Dodgers-Padres game today?
Well, here's the thing, okay? And I hate to say this, I don't want to break your heart here, right?
What's up?
But I think we maybe are a little clouded by our excitement about this Padres team, right?
Why? What are you talking about?
Because I think earlier you were like, no team's been more impressed than the Padres. They lost three of the last four games.
I don't care. I know you don't.
But you'd be losing money if you guys just keep betting the Padres. Like,
they're 7-5. That's not true. They're 7-5. I was on them at the beginning.
Okay, but they've lost three of their last four games. I'm just saying. Like,
all right.
If you, depending on juice, I don't know how that worked out for you. But all I'm saying is, this is a team that has lost three of the last four in this, you know, series with the Rockies and the Dodgers. These are the difference makers, right?
True.
These are type of series that will matter a lot here. Pitching matchup today is pretty interesting with Ross Stripling and Garrett Richards. I'm going to do the same thing that I did in the first two games of this series. Okay, the first game we had Buehler going up against Paddock. We tried to play an over. We got it yesterday. We went back to the well with Lamet and Dustin May. Okay, we fall a run shy. The total remains incredibly low. Again, these are two fine pitchers in Stripling and Richards, but I still think over eight with these two lineups is the way that I'm going to look to play this series.
All right, fair enough. That makes sense to me. I just believe that out West, we have three teams that I think ultimately will qualify for the expanded playoffs. Do not throw any kind of cold water on my love for the Fathers, all right? I'm going to tell you that right now. We got a nice little chemistry going on, but do not upset my happy home when it comes to the Padres. I want to ask you, though, Kevin, about these teams in the AL West, okay? Because there are two teams, in my opinion, in the AL West that just keep humming along, and they are the Houston Astros and the Oakland Athletics. I want to ask you about both of these teams in this segment, Kev. Oakland A's, they got a W 5-1 yesterday over Texas. My man, Jesus Luzardo, with his first start going five innings, looking decent. Stephen Piscotty with a walk-off grand slam for the A's. And then Houston piled on as well. They beat Arizona 8-2, Altuve and Correa going yard. What we have here now is, as most people probably expected, right? The A's and the Astros are above 500 there in the West. Are these two teams just going to run away and hide and be the two natural playoff contenders for the West? How do you like these two games going on? They repeat against their opponents from yesterday, both of them looking good with the offenses at play, especially the A's clutch when they needed it in the ninth inning.
Yeah, the fact that the A's have two walk-off grand slams already this year is beyond weird. And I will say that grand slam actually it made me laugh quite a bit. The live total in that game, I think around the seventh inning, was 3. Okay, that's how good the two pitchers looked in that game. But in what it's just go and now it ended up with 6 runs score. But in one swing, you can get over a live total of 3. It just kind of cracked me up a bit here to see that. What's interesting with the A's specifically is I feel like a lot of times people have been trying to back Mania on the year. He's 0-2 with a 7.
Sean Manaea, yeah.
You know what I mean? Manaea, excuse me. Yeah. Like, it's just, that is concerning for me. And we've talked about it already, Dan, at the start of this, okay? I am worried about favorites today. Like, if I see a dog and I'm like, maybe, I'm definitely playing it, okay? Minus 176, though, for Manaea, who's not been pitching the way that we've expected, it's Rangers or pass for me at plus 152. On the other side of the coin, it might be a similar situation here. Look, Lance McCullers versus Robbie Ray. You tell me. I think you can make a case, though, maybe for Robbie Ray there. The Diamondbacks, though, have sent good pitching to the mound. The job's just not been done enough times. Plus 132 on the money line, though, for the D-backs to maybe get a win here. I think, and I learned this, I saw Cam do this incredibly the other day on In-Game Live with me, and I know he's about to step up this year, is you take these two dogs. You take both the Rangers and the D-backs. If you hit one, positive. If you hit both, steak dinner.
Right? Yeah, I like it. And that's the beauty of plus money. Right, Kev? I mean, you could play two plus money, the ones that you kind of like. You get one of them, you know, you wind up in the black, shall we say. So let me ask you that. Let me tempt fate. You're talking about you think some of the dogs could come in today. I know there is not necessarily lines up just yet, but you'll have an opportunity for dogs with the Philadelphia Phillies today, not once, but likely twice when they play the New York Yankees. And, you know, the Phillies, I think they've gotten such a raw deal, right? They had to play the Marlins on that Sunday game and expose themselves to COVID, which sucks. Then they had the kind of delay, right? Their welcome back present was Garrett Cole. Then they wind up with a rain. Then they wind up with a proactive rain out, have to play a doubleheader today. Let me ask you, though, it looks like they are sending out Zach Wheeler in the first game and Aaron Nola in the second game. Right. So if you want to ride with some starting pitchers, they're at least rested. Those are the two best that the Phillies can run out. I understand you don't want to get ahead of this Yankees gravy train right now. But if you want plus money, you know, the Phillies may be a place to go. Although I guess you could get plus money on any individual game for Aaron Judge to go yaya these days. And that may be a good bet, too.
That is true. I'm upset, though, that we don't have these lines right now.
Not yet. Right.
It feels like we will have the shortest Yankee lines in a while with these games being played at Citizens Bank.
And Wheeler and Nola.
Right. Like it should be to where you might weirdly be like, oh, wow, it's only minus 150 for a Yankees game. Like that's been a while since I've seen a number that low. I'll say this, though, even as a Yankees fan, it would be shocking if they are able to take both these games today. I mean, that would be ridiculous if they were able to do that. They've won 7 in a row. They now got to play a doubleheader, and they might be at a pitching disadvantage in both games. If they leave this game with winners of 9 in a row, that would be pretty surprising to me. I think it's supposed to be Zach Wheeler, Jordan Montgomery in that first game.
In the first one, yes.
Zach Wheeler. I think backing Zach Wheeler makes sense. If you lose, you got to probably try come back around on the Phils, and it might hurt you. And I'm saying this as someone that I wouldn't be surprised if I end up texting you and be like, yeah, by the way, I bet the Yankees couldn't help myself. Like, I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, Aaron Nola in the second game, though, Kev, right? So to me, that almost plays out. I'd even be interested in the Phillies in game 2, okay? Because it is their ace. We don't know who the starter is for the Yankees in this one. And to your point, right? You know, Yankees offense keeps rolling. They get another victory potentially in game 1. Is that the time to hop off and zag when everyone else is zigging?
Maybe, but the thing is, I think if there's a world where maybe we start to come to terms with maybe Zach Wheeler is this team's ace. But we've also only, we saw one game from Aaron Nola. We've seen one game from Zach Wheeler. I don't know what this Phillies team is, right? And the fact that they're playing a doubleheader right now is wild. They better get used to it, though. There's a bunch of them coming.
I mean, listen, they'll be playing half as many games today as they played in the rest of the season so far combined. So we will see about that. When we come back here on the early line, I am excited to talk to our next guest. It is Wednesday, so we've got the Raging Redhead to talk about golf. Yo, if If you were with us last time in this spot, he gave you Justin Thomas. Last I checked, Justin Thomas took down the tournament. Will we have it again for the first major of the year? Keep it locked here to the early line. This is Sports Grid. We give you the edge, and Cam's coming on in to do so when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. Right back here on the grid. We thank Chris for his update here. And now I got to tell you something, guys. I am overjoyed right now to bring in our next guest. It is Cam Stewart. He's in his normal spot here on Wednesday, where we have a golf event to preview. And Cam, we're going to get into the golf, Justin Thomas, your haircut, the six pack, and all of that. But I've got to ask you something first. You know, I like to watch this network sometimes, even when I'm not on camera. And I was watching, I think it was Coast to Coast yesterday, the day before, and you're giving the news updates, Cam. And I got to tell you something, brother, man. The picture that they have for you when you are doing the updates with you smiling like that, it is the best part of my day, Cam. I gotta tell you, I am overjoyed to see you as happy and jolly as you are while giving the updates. Good morning, Cam. How you doing? Excited for some golf this week?
Yeah, that's my smile at Sunday at 6:45 when the golfers are coming in. I told Walsh's, I don't know what the heck's going on because it's a really hard sport to nail. There's 145 guys in a field. You know, it's just it's crazy, right? But and I've had so many seconds in third, but this year I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't want to say like COVID-19 has helped my golf picks, but I don't know what the heck's going on. But it's been crazy. And some of the live lines you get too, guys, it's been fantastic. Like Thomas is four shots back against guys that have, you know, notoriously not closed the door. Even though Brendan Todd's won a couple tournaments, he's gagged on Sunday. You know, Ben On, great guy. Like I've taken him before. He can't close the door. A lot of these guys can't put four rounds together and they can't play on Sunday. Their swing changes, they get nervous. Thomas, as I said before, don't let the pink pants fool you. Like this guy's an animal. Like he's a certified, like I don't even look at him as a boxer because he has that, he has a real like attitude. Like I want to beat you down. He's very similar to Tiger Woods, actually, his idol. Mm-hmm. That's he wants to beat you.
So, you know, that's a great transition there to Tiger. I wanted to ask you something about him specifically in this major, but it may not be the question you think, okay? You definitely nailed the Justin Thomas. He goes to number one in the world. This major that is happening at TPC Hardin Park in the Bay Area, okay? I saw a live report from there. I think it was like Tom Rinaldi on another network or something, and they were joking that it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold in the mornings in San Francisco. And I know about Tiger, even like a guy like Brooks Koepka with the back and stuff like that, these older guys. Am I right to legitimately worry about Tiger or Brooks if they have to go out early on these first 2 days when it's a little chilly out there, you know, and the fog and all, because it may struggle for them to loosen up? Is that valid?
Oh, it's very valid. And the thing about it is, I'd worry more about Tiger Woods than Koepka. I think Koepka's over the knee injury, but Tiger Woods, he's exactly my age. The guy, you know, he's mid-40s.
So he's 21. He's 21, Cam.
He's a superior athlete, but he wakes up with aches and pains and problems. He's had surgeries. I'm going to tell you something. If it gets cold, wet, and windy, he's done. It'll beat him down. Like, that's the thing. He needs sun. He plays well when it's hot. He wants to be in, like, Florida playing golf, nice and hot, loosen up, get limber. Brooks Koepka's different. I still think he'll be able to power through it. You also have to look at if that's the type of conditions it's going to be. I would look at Europeans and wind players, guys who play well in Texas, guys who play well in at the British Open. You know, some of the Brits, like, hate to say it, like, I don't have them this week because I can't pick everybody, like a Tommy Fleetwood, for example. I do have another Brit in my six pack. Those guys that are low ball hitters, they can put the ball through the wind. That Mark Leishman's another guy who plays that way. Those are guys you have to look at, Dane, because if it's windy and cold, a lot of these guys who are used to playing in the United States are going to go, oh, God, help me.
Like the ball golf
20 yards less, you know? Oh, and the thing is, you need to be mentally tough to win a major to begin with. And if the elements hurt you too, you've already checked out.
So let me ask you, Cam, as we head into our first major of the year, and how is it different between betting on your every Thursday through Sunday tournament and when we head to a major? Do you find the lines to be different? Are there just far more options available because all of the big names are there? Do you notice a big difference in how you approach betting on a major versus your, you know, average golf tournament?
Yeah, Kev, I noticed that I have a scroll the size of like a tree. did I just click on, you know, top continental Europe? Or I'm like, wow, top South Africa, Christian Bezoutenhout. I'm like, what the heck am I doing here? Like, no, my portfolio is out the yin yang, but we got some Justice Thomas monies to have more fun. I'm not going to lie to you. I bet more on the majors. I just find it a lot better. As to your point, Brooks Koepka at 11-1 on FanDuel is a wicked price. You know, I've looked at some other books. I've seen eights, nines. I was telling Joe Ranieri, I saw six on a couple. Like, are you kidding me? Like, 11 is a good price for Brooks Koepka. Remember, he's going for the three-peat, fellas. He's going to be motivated this week. He owns this tournament. So Justin Thomas, another guy. I've seen him under 10. They got 11. And we have 95 of the top 100 golfers. And I'll tell you something, Kevin Dane. I'm going to be betting a lot more. They don't just have first-round leader. They have, like, top 20 positions after round one. Basically, we've gone from the Golden Corral to like the best buffet in the world where we're adding like 30 more unique dishes and the cook is a 5-star Michelin chef.
The Cheesecake Factory.
You know what I mean? I'm not getting old wings and ribs. Like, we're getting quality cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm in. So, yeah, let's just say I bet a little bit too much already and it's only Wednesday. Like, I want to do game show tonight after a couple cold ones. Click, click, click. We'll probably add a few more bets.
That's all right, though, Cam. At the rate you're going, those are all going to come in. So, we're happy to have you here on the Early Line, and we tip our cap. Cam has been red hot, the raging redhead. Let me ask you this, because you make a great point. Everyone's there today, right? And so you can get Koepka at like 11. I see guys like Ricky Fowler, Matsuyama at 40-1, you know, so everyone with a little bit longer odds.
If you take Ricky Fowler, I'll fly to your place in New York City and give you a noogie. Like, no.
I'm not saying I'm going to take him in a pretzel.
No, here's the thing. Fowler can win, but what I saw on Sunday, this is the thing. Like, there was a vote a long time ago on the PGA Tour who's the most overrated golfer.
Right.
They all voted Ricky Fowler. He won that week. Kind of like, hey, shut up, guys. Ricky Fowler is a world-class player. I don't want to take shots at the guy, but there's a problem with him right now. He doesn't have the killer instinct on Sunday or the will to win like some of these other guys.
He can't get it done.
You can't bet him at that number, too. Like, I can give you where, so he's 40. I'd rather have Jason Day. I'd rather have Tommy Fleetwood. Heck, I'd probably have rather even have Gary Woodland or Victor Hovland. Like, any
Hovland,
of those guys.
Yeah.
There's a problem with Fowler, and he needs to be faded.
No, I hear you, Cam, and that's not necessarily, I wasn't like going to lean on Fowler necessarily. What I'm talking about is all these guys there. Absolutely. All these guys there, right? You got serious contenders or guys, brand names, shall we say, at kind of big numbers. But I want to ask you again about the course. I always ask you about that, Cam. You know, I asked you about the conditions. It may be colder, chilly, windy, what have you. What about the course itself? Is this one where, you know, really guys like the DJs and the DeChambeaus and the Bombers have the advantage? Or is it the technique, the irons, the approach shot, getting to the greens in regulation, hitting the fairways that are going to rule the day this weekend at this major?
Oh, it's interesting, Dane. It's both. That's the thing. Everybody's in contention. It's a par 70, so let's remember, on a par 70, we lose two par 5s. That usually hurts the big guys. You try to get there in two, you know, long birdie putt, tap in eagle, the Koepkas of the world and the DeChambeaus of the world. But let's remember one thing. Wind and rain and the way it's blowing, you need to be a long ball hitter.
Sure,
and those
everything.
Conditions present itself. Because if you're hitting it nowhere, say you're 100th in driving distance and you're plowing it into the wind, you're going to have to go with a long iron where other guys are going to go with mid irons. That's a concern. But here's another thing. The rough is lush. It is lush. Like when my grandma, Ron Ruggs, like right now I'm a military cam right here. When I was rocking that COVID-19 lid, it's about as thick as it's going to be.
You could play for the Yankees with that facial hair.
Yes. Dude, I'm telling you, like if you miss the fairway, buddy, here, good luck. Like you can in some spots, it's an automatic bogey, maybe a double. So you also need guys who hit it straight. And you can't just see, that's the problem I have with DeChambeau. I think he might be good fade material this week. He likes to cut corners. He likes to do all that stuff. But if his driver gets loose trying to get that extra 20 or 30 yards, he's going to have so many bogeys and doubles. This course is going to beat him down. And and that's the one thing. He does have a temper, and I understand. In golf, I like a little bit of emotion, but you can't rock it for like four or five holes. You eventually got to shake it off, or you're going to, you know, screw your round away. And that's the issue that I have with a guy like DeChambeau, why he's not making the six-pack.
Now, Ken, the thing for me is you mentioned all of these, you know, different areas where you usually don't see odds available that now come available here in the majors. And you know me. That's the type of stuff that gets my attention.
Yes,
so I
it
look
does.
Through, you know, these
you like the odd items, Kev. I know. You like to shop in
it's a different an type
of swap. Yeah, yes, yes.
It's just what it is.
Country
like,
Fox.
I'm looking at.
Yes.
Yes, that's where I am right now. Top Australian player.
Hey, buddy, I'm reading your mind. Give me one, and I'll give it to you. Who do you like? What top European? What Irish? Spanish, Canadian, Australian, Asian. Where do you want to go?
I'm curious. Benetton today on Early Line.
Like, you know, I mean, I see Jason Day at plus 155 to be the top Australian player. I mean, that stands out to me. But are there any of these country props that stand out to you?
Yeah, I actually, you know what? And the funny thing about that is why I wouldn't smash Jason Day. Adam Scott comes back, guys, and he's had a break. And so I don't know how much he played, how good he is, but I'll tell you one thing. If he's practicing, Jason Day's not a lock, but he is in great form right now. So top European player, you know, for me, I would take a shot with a guy. I'm going to tell you, I like two guys at 12-1, and you can bet them. And if one of them wins, you'll make money. Tommy Fleetwood or Tyrell Hatton at 12-1. Both are 12-1. But
so it's in 6-1.
But yeah, you have to beat John Rahm.
If you take them both, it's 6-1, you know?
Who's at 6-1?
I said if you take them both, in essence, it's 6-1, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Dane. I'm just, you know, it's I've only had one cup of coffee here. I'm still got cobwebs. Rahm is plus 450, McIlroy plus 450, Fitzpatrick's dangerous at 10, Hovland 10, but I get Fleetwood and Hatton at 12. I love that. You're right. A 6-1 bet, split it down the middle. Those are type of things I like. Kev, you know, you're a guy who likes to be the you're a fun Irishman. You know, Rory McIlroy at minus 250 should be able to take care of business.
I want to hold you there. You there, Cam. We got to go to break, but we'll get your six pack and more when we come back. We got to pay some bills. That's all. Come on back with us right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody. The Early Line, the fun in functional sports content and giving you the edge right here on Sports Grid. And we continued to have my guy, the raging redhead, Cam Stewart, with us. Cam, I am trying to learn from you, okay? And I'm learning that in golf.
I don't think anyone's ever said that before, but thank you.
Well, consider me the first then, Cam. And it's all love because I've learned we're not only betting win bets, right? There's top 10s, there's top 20s, and there is matchup bets. So one of the things I've been trying to do over the course of the last few weeks is It's hard to get a golfer to win, whether it's 15, 20 to 1, whatever it is. But you seem to give me inklings of guys you want to fade and guys that you sort of like. And so what I have been doing, Cam, is finding if any of them are facing off against each other in a tournament matchup play. And I have found one for you, Cam. The juice isn't even that bad. Minus 122 for Brooks Koepka. Who you like, who you say you are going to fit into the six-pack, who you think is caring about his legacy, and he's minus 122 straight up versus a golfer you want to fade. Would you lay the 22 cents matchup Brooks Koepka against Bryson DeChambeau?
Bryson DeChambeau, yeah. I'm not going to say, Dane, go to the bank and have a conversation with the manager there and gotcha. Say, can we readjust my mortgage?
When I'm
really betting on a golfer and they don't want to know that. Actually, I've used that line before when I've lost money. I'm like, hey, Mr. Stewart, why are you taking out? So it's my money. It's my business. Don't ask me questions, bank. But I will say this. I love it, Dane. I love it.
Okay.
Like, I can't believe, at Cam's Sportsbook, I probably would have made that one $1.50, $1.55. I think it's value.
Sounds
there.
Like value
I
to me.
It's better. Hey, DeChambeau can murder this course. If conditions are good, he has the distance to do it. But as you talked about, wind, rain, sleet, him trying to get aggressive, cut corners. If he doesn't hit fairways, it doesn't matter if you hit the ball 370 yards. You're done. You could be in a gopher hole behind trees. I'm telling you, I love that matchup.
I love it, but Cam, look, we got to get into this six-pack. No better time to crack one than at 8:42 on a Wednesday morning.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Yeah, I bought this beer, Budweiser Nitro, yesterday because the can looked good. It was I don't want to rip like any companies because I like their regular beers, but God, it was I don't know what the heck I was doing. Like, I almost want to return it. I've never said no to a beer. Anyway, you guys want the six-pack right now?
Let's party.
We're going to go with Brooks Koepka at 11-1. I think, as I said, three-peat time. Mm-hmm. I think he's the big storyline. He'll be there. This is very, very tough. I was going to go take Xander Schauffele. He gets close, but he never seems to break through the door. Instead, I'm going to take Patrick Cantlay. He's one of those guys, not a huge hitter, fairways and greens guy. I think this course is going to suit his eye. 27-1. Another guy that's won in California before, Webb Simpson. 30-1 looks very, very good to me. It's hard to, man, there's so many guys that I like. But here, guys, this is my sneaky play at 50-1. You're looking for a European, a real bulldog. Ty Hatton at 50-1 fits the mold for me. I think he has the complete game to get it done. He's also not afraid of wind and rain. And now two bombs for you. FanDuel prices are great. Max Homa from the state of California. Good American kid. I love this guy. He has game, and more game. If you can get that putter going, 170-1, and another Brit. My big bomb at 180-1, Matt Wallace. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. You know, put $5 or $10 on these guys. Yeah. It's party time if they come through.
Absolutely. Listen, that has been the case for you with your golf picks. You have been red hot as the Raging Redhead. We appreciate that. But Cam, you know, you are north of the border, so we would be remiss if we did not ask you a little bit about these NHL playoffs that are going on. And, you know, so far, you know, Kevin and I have been, you know, clued in. We talked with Carver yesterday. You know, we've been trying to understand the hockey. And here's the one trend that I have started to see, and I want to see if you kind of double down or co-sign on this, right? These play-in series, that's one thing. But these seeding teams, the top four that are playing each other, right? Cam, these don't look like real games to me. Okay. Carver yesterday used the term glorified scrimmages because there's very little for them to play for. I understand there's the seeding, but there's almost too much to risk, right? So given that, if you agree, and it sounds like you do, should I just lean under on all these games, Cam?
I'm not going to say lean under on all these games, Dane, but I will say this. They're trying some things. A young player might get some more ice time. If they have a backup goalie, they'll throw him in. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. Like, I knew that one game, and I was telling Kevin, because I know I said the break would hurt the Flyers. Then I realized they're playing Boston. Boston's missing one of their top guys, and Philadelphia wants to keep the train rolling. They're a team that's never been as successful as the Bruins. They took that game more seriously. They beat them 4-1. That's what I've noticed about these reseed games. Like, the thing is, I wouldn't generally just take unders. Like, Kevin and I were doing in-game live, Dane. The Dallas Stars were down a couple goals to the Knights. The Knights came back and rolled off four goals by the time we were done the show. And they covered the puck line. We could have caught them live at over 10-1. Like, crazy things are happening. With those games, though, I wouldn't just take the under. I look for motivation. I will say this. Boston's a team that I'm probably going to pick on in this type of seeding. They've been there, done that. And I think they're kind of trying some new things when I watch it with the eye test. Whereas the other teams like Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia is taking it seriously because they're a team that wants to keep up their mojo. They haven't been a good hockey club in a long time. Whereas Boston, they're always like winning a Stanley Cup or in the Stanley Cup finals. So that's something to look for. Also, another thing to look for in the other series, guys, we had example one, the Rangers were down 2-0. I say, right. You know what? When you're down 2-0 and a guy's got his foot on your throat like wrestling, some guys are going to tap out. They played Shesterkin. They tapped out. What's going to happen with the Islanders today? I'll tell you one thing. I will not be betting the Pussycat Panthers. They had a lead in that game. And I give the Islanders full marks. They're well coached. And they also play the type of style in a pandemic. When they have a lead, they suffocate you like a snake. You can't come back from them. They're very good defensively. And they have elite goaltending right now. I like the Islanders. It's only like 20 cents on FanDuel to take out the Panthers at noon, guys. I think it's a good play. And I think those teams down 2-0, a lot of them have already got their suitcases packed.
Mm. I always like to see a noon potential winner on the board. I do want to ask you about Penguins Canadiens. It is the series that seems to be most interesting, what you like for this game. But I'd also be remiss if I did not bring up the series angle that we've talked about this. They've now reposted the series price. So after the Canadians take game one, the Penguins go to even money, right? And the Canadians were about -122. Now the Penguins level it up, -245 for the Penguins to win this series.
It's crazy. Remember what we said, Kev, on In Game Live? If you like the Oilers and the Penguins, you bet everything. You bet the game, you could parlay them, and you got to bet the series. Now look at the situation I'm in. I only put like $50 on it, but I got the Penguins as a favorite instead of an even money play, right? That's insane to me. And I'll tell you one thing. The Montreal Canadiens, I got to give them credit, man. They're grinding. They work hard. But Carey Price, he's not God. He can't keep on making these absolute insane saves. Like, the Penguins could have won that game by 3 or 4 goals. It's like the Leafs in Columbus. Korpisalo was standing on his head before the Leafs got the first goal. Then the floodgates opened. They won 3-0. Here's the deal, guys. I'm telling you, you're in a great spot right now. Like, I don't come back to the Canadiens. I like Pittsburgh in this series. I think they get it done. I'll also tell you the league would rather have Sidney Crosby, Malkin, and Stars in there too. Boy. Not saying there's conspiracies, but, you know, it's kind of like football. Hey, Tom Brady, like, they like popular players, right? Like Pat Mahomes and these guys. It's just the way life works. But I'm telling you, I love it. Like, I tell you, guys, take the Islanders. The Penguins will roll because they understand what they need to do. As for this Oilers-Chicago game, be very careful. Every game has gone over and over by a lot. McDavid had a hat trick. The line is now 6.5. I can tell you everybody and their mother are borrowing money to go on the over. Be careful.
Really?
This is what the one game. Yeah. Like, there's no automatically there's going to be 7 goals in this game. These teams understand they got to tighten up defensively, and we might not see the goal explosion. I'd be very, very careful to blindly bet a 6.5 over.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that Oilers-Blackhawks game and the total. Because also, every single time I bet a total in hockey, Cam, I get an empty net goal at the very end that bangs me at the very end. So I ain't touching it. I want to ask you about one other thing that's not specifically a game, but something Carver mentioned yesterday as it related to the Bruins goalie, Tuukka Rask, right? He was, quote unquote, unfit to play because he, like, self-reported that he had the sniffles with a little app in their hotel room, right? And these guys have to kind of take a survey every day to say how they feel, if they feel well. So Rask says, you know, he self-reports maybe that he's a little under the weather, and then boom, he's out. I got to ask you, Cam, if you're an NHL player, are you ever honestly answering that survey on your little phone ever again? Because as we get into the playoffs, you know your availability matters. Like, I would lie in the same way that if I'm on an NFL sideline and they're asking me with smelling salts, how many fingers am I holding up? I'm like, nah, I'm fine. Let's go. I don't understand, especially after the idea of Rask being, you know, unavailable because of the way he responded, or at least that's how they're reporting it. If I'm a player, I'm never being honest on that again.
No, and like hockey players, these guys will play like, you know what I mean? Like, you've seen the injuries these guys
injury.
Play with. I know a guy that almost played with a broken foot. I'm like, these guys are the toughest guys ever. They don't care. Right. Just give me that damn Stanley Cup. I'll worry about my injuries later. As for Rask, though, Dane, it's an interesting thing. Boston has basically two starting goaltenders. Jaroslav Halak, their backup, is almost as good as Rask. It's like 1A, 1B. So they're getting him some time because Rask has a history of injuries as well. So I think it's kind of a different scene for Boston. Like, they don't mind that he's out because they want to give Halak some time too. But Boston's a team, got to be careful with these guys. They got a lot of starters out, and I just watched their game. I don't think they're taking this seeding round very, very seriously, right? For now, anyway. We'll see what happens later, but I'd fade them one more time. If they continue to lose, just fade them for the rest, and because they'll probably lock up the 4 seed.
Curious for you, Cam, there's been a lot of talk that the unders have been playing a lot in these opening series, and I'm curious for you if you think that, if you had to attribute it more to rust or more playoff hockey, playoff intensity, and the defenses are showing out a bit more.
I would contribute. The thing is, I would say it's because of goaltending. I can't believe the saves these guys are making. Like, Jonas Korpisalo, I was tweeting last night, is the next coming of Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur, as I tweeted at the Leafs scored. I'm like, he still is, but I'm not going to send that tweet. Stalock from Minnesota in the first game was fantastic. What about UC Saros? This is the thing. Like, it's hard, guys. Like, when you have a goaltender like Pekka Rinne that basically built the Nashville franchise, how do you go to the backup? But he's a better goaltender. That's the thing. They've been fantastic. I can't believe how ready these goalies have been. And look at Edmonton. Even though he let in goals, they made the switch. Mike Smith let in a cheesy goal early, kind of hurt the momentum of the Oilers. They put in Koskinen, they get the win. All these guys are backup goaltenders. Like, Saros got the win for Nashville. I'm telling you, man, I can't believe the level of play from these goaltenders right now. We thought at the start, the narrative was, oh, there's going to be lots of goals. These goalies are going to be horrible. Players, it's the opposite, as it always is. It's the opposite. And Kev, be careful with the under in the Islanders game. If Florida's down in that game, they might pull their goaltender at like the 5-minute mark, and they might score 2 or 3 empty netters. It's the last game, right? Islanders are up 2-0 the series. I would actually lean over in these games because if they're, say it's 3-1, they pull the goalie with 5 minutes, 4-1, 5-1. Thank you. We hit the over. A couple cheesy empty net goals. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it's like in basketball when a team just starts fouling, then the other team is on the free throw stripe with no time left, not moving, and then boom, it goes over. Well, thank you, as always, Cam, for spending a couple of segments with us. I will be locking in that Brooks Koepka over Bryson DeChambeau now before the money changes. And we'll have you back next week, as always, to talk golf and see where we are in this playoff format as well. Thanks a lot, Cam.
You guys, let's hit some winners, guys. Build that portfolio. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Cam. See you tonight.
Absolutely. There you have it, Kevin. I think that is interesting. The goalies out in front, you know, unders coming in, and of course, the six-pack for Cam and for the major that is going. Brooks Koepka, maybe with a legacy, could be 3 in a row if he gets it done this week. When we come back, we got the opportunity to find out what's going on the morning after, and we tie a nice, neat little bow on this episode of The Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Dave Martinez coming back for just a couple of minutes. When we come back after the break, giving you the edge right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to The Early Line, giving you the edge right here on Sports Grid. Keep it locked all day long, where we give you the edge. And now with hockey games and basketball games starting as early as noon, you got to get it locked. You got to get your bets in. And the morning after is definitely a place to do that. And so we welcome in our homegirl, Ariel Epstein. And Ariel, I got to ask you something, okay? When I watch the morning after, you are hot right now on your Major League Baseball picks. I think maybe you got bounced last night, but it's been a great week for you. So I want to ask you this. Maybe you just start riding the Marlins, Ariel, because they are now 3-1. Can you imagine what your bankroll would be like if you just bet the Marlins at plus money every single time? Technically, they are 3-1. Technically, they're in the driver's seat of the NL East in a division that is so messed up in terms of consistency and games played. Are you going to go to the Marlins well to stay hot today, Ariel?
They are playing the Baltimore Orioles. I think that's such a toss-up between two teams. My dad's also an Orioles fan, don't forget. So if I do root against them, I might get kicked out of my house, which at this point's okay. We still have no power after the hurricane or tropical storm hit yesterday. If he kicks me out, it's fine. It's for the best.
No fear from Ariel. Ariel, talk to me. What do you guys got coming up on the morning after today?
You know, Kev, that's a great question. I had no power yesterday, so a lot of this show is riding on Jared Smith. Oh, save us all. Kevin, you're coming on the show. It's Walsh Wednesday.
That's exciting. Second division Swedish soccer. We will hear about second division Swedish soccer. Let's go.
So we have, who knows what soccer we actually have. We have really cool guests, though. We have Bill Krakenberger, who's coming in from Vegas. He's going to talk to us all about the futures market. Krak's awesome. You could have seen him on the action documentary on Showtime. And, of course, like I said, Kevin Walsh is joining the show, which is the star of every Wednesday.
Absolutely. Walsh Wednesday is coming up on the morning after, and everything you need to know to keep the edge right here on Sports Grid. Have a great day, everybody. The morning after is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.